Good weekend, my Walking with Jesus friends. 25 years ago this weekend, the world held its collective breath. Do you remember why? Never before had the skies over America been emptied of all airplanes, but it happened on 9/11 as air traffic grounded every airplane in fear there were other terrorists. Ground Zero, as they named the burning pile of rubble in downtown New York City, was still smoldering, and ash covered everything for many blocks in all directions. Thousands of friends and family members were desperately awaiting contact from their loved ones who had gone to work that morning of 9/11, but did not come home. Our world was in shock, and anger was boiling in the souls of many people. The risks and dangers of America's freedoms for both its citizens and visitors was horrifically evident in those terrible days, remember? Once again, God's word is so very relevant. We're navigating our way through the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Christians in Corinth in the middle of that dangerous first century. Today, we're in 1 Corinthians 10, and I draw our attention to verses 23 and 24. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10. Oh my! Those terrorists had the right to take flying lessons, but their intentions were not helpful or beneficial or constructive for our world. While some of those terrorists may have thought they were giving honor to their God, that God is not the Almighty, Holy God, the Creator of the universe and the God of the Bible, who sent His Son Jesus Christ to pay for the terrible sins of humanity and thereby offer to any person a sin-forgiven relationship with Holy God, according to John 3:16. One of the evidences seen in an authentic Christian whose life has been changed by the power of Jesus Christ is that they live for the benefit of others, even to their own detriment. Do you know some people living like that in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God and seeking to honor Holy God with their lives? Now, friends, that type of living requires a single-mindedness and a consistency in morals and values. Do you agree? That's what David meant when he wrote this prayer. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Psalm 86, verse 11. But this is a great challenge for almost everyone, no matter where you live in the world. Isn't that true? Why? Because we are inundated with conflicting opinions, values, pressures, and options every day, all day. And to live with an undivided heart, to walk in God's truthful ways, requires tremendous courage, steadfastness, and commitment to Holy God, and that's not easy. I notice Paul addresses this issue in his letter to the Corinthian Christians as he writes, "The sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. Do not participate with demons. You cannot drink both the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons." 1 Corinthians 10. Do you know anyone trying to live in two different opposing worlds at the same time? Here, Paul is clearly talking about the dark kingdom, the world of the demonic, the occult, immorality, debauchery, anything diametrically opposed to Holy God and His holiness. Do you know anyone who claims to be a Christian, attends worship services in a God-honoring church, but regularly participates in those things of the dark kingdom? That is beyond hypocritical. That is spiritual schizophrenia, and it is a mockery of Jesus Christ and all God has done to make salvation possible for any person. Sadly, there's a huge number of people today, especially of the younger generations, who are referred to as the nuns or the nevers. Most of these are people who once were religious. Many of them had claimed to be Christians, but they saw so much involvement by religious people in things of the dark kingdom that they abandoned whatever faith they had, and now they have no religious affiliation, in many cases, no spirituality, and some declare their determination to never return. Those defiant people are why Paul wrote this closing statement to the Corinthian Christians. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, Do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 and 32. By stumble, Paul means spiritually or morally choose a path away from God. Oh, what a terrible thing to be the cause of someone turning their back on God. Oh, my friends, once again, Paul has given us a great deal to think about. 25 years ago, many people were frantically evaluating the disaster of 9/11. How did such a disaster happen in such a sophisticated society? On this, the weekend, are you and I able to evaluate our own lives and make course corrections that will help us be more God-honoring and society-helpful Christians in the days to come?